imposing image of Darth Vader and the smaller black-clad figure of Luke Skywalker. They stood before the Emperor, facing each other, and ignited their lightsabers. The blades crossed, brilliant red-white against brilliant green-white, and they prepared for battle. And then, without warning, the blades disengaged. And with twin roars of hatred, audible even over the alarms, both turned and strode toward the Emperor. Mara heard herself cry out as she struggled to rush to her master's aid. But the distance was too great, her body too sluggish. She screamed a challenge, trying to at least distract them. But neither Vader nor Skywalker seemed to hear her. They moved outward to flank the Emperor. And as they lifted their lightsabers high, she saw that the Emperor was gazing at her. She looked back at him, wanting desperately to turn away from the coming disaster, but unable to move. A thousand thoughts and emotions flooded in through that gaze, a glittering kaleidoscope of pain and fear and rage that spun far too fast for her to really absorb. The Emperor raised his hands, sending cascades of jagged blue-white lightning at his enemies. Both men staggered under the counterattack, and Mara watched with the sudden agonized hope that this time it might end differently. But no. Vader and Skywalker straightened, and with another roar of rage, they lifted their lightsabers high. And then, over the raised lightsabers, came a roll of distant thunder. And with a jerk that nearly threw her out of her chair, Mara snapped out of the dream. She took a deep, shuddering breath against the flood of post-dream emotion, against the turmoil of pain, anger, and loneliness. But this time, she wasn't going to have the luxury of working her way through the tangle in solitude. From outside her room, she could vaguely sense another presence, and even as she rolled out of the desk chair into a reflexive combat crouch, the roll of thunder from her dream, a quiet knock, was repeated. For a long moment, she considered keeping quiet, and seeing if whoever it was would decide the room was empty and go away. But the light from her room, she knew, would be visible beneath the old-style hinged door. And if the person out there was who she suspected, he wouldn't be fooled by silence anyway. "Come in," she called. The door unlocked and swung open, but it wasn't Luke Skywalker who stood there.
"Hello, Mara."
Leia Organa Solo nodded to her.
"Am I interrupting anything?"
"Not at all," Mara said politely, suppressing a grimace. The last thing she wanted right now was company, particularly company that was in any way associated with Skywalker. But as long as she and Ghent were still stuck here, it wouldn't be smart to deliberately alienate someone of Organa Solo's influence.
"I was just reading some of the news reports from the battle regions.
Please, come in."
"Thank you,"
Organa Solo said, stepping past her into the suite.
"I was looking over those same reports a little while ago. Grand Admiral Thrawn is certainly justifying the late Emperor's confidence in his ability."
Mara threw her a sharp look, wondering what Skywalker had told her. But Organa Solo's eyes were turned toward the window and the lights of the Imperial City below. And what little Mara could discern of the other woman's sense didn't seem to be taunting.
"Yes, Thrawn was one of the best," she said. "Brilliant and innovative, with an almost compulsive thirst for victory.
Perhaps he needed to prove he was the equal of the other Grand Admirals,"
Organa Solo suggested.
"Particularly given his mixed heritage and the Emperor's feelings toward non-humans."
"I'm sure that was part of it," Mara said.
Organa Solo took another step toward the window, her back still turned to Mara.
"Did you know the Grand Admiral well?" she asked.
"Not really,"
Mara said cautiously.
"He communicated with Card a few times when I was there, and visited our Merkur base once. He had a big business going in Merkur Islamari for a while. Card once figured they'd hauled 5,000 or 6,000 of them out of there."
"I meant, did you know him during the war?"
Organa Solo said, turning finally to face her. Mara returned her gaze steadily. If Skywalker had told her... But if he told her, why wasn't Mara in a detention cell somewhere? No,
Organa Solo had to be on a fishing expedition. "Why should I have known Thrawn during the war?" she countered. Organa Solo shrugged fractionally.
"There's been a suggestion made that you might once have served with the Empire."
"And you wanted to make sure before you locked me up?"
"I wanted to see if you might have knowledge about the Grand Admiral we could use against him,"
Organa Solo corrected. Mara snorted.
"There isn't anything," she said. "Not with Thrawn. He has no patterns, no favorite strategies, no discernible weaknesses. He studies his enemies and tailors his attacks against psychological blind spots. He doesn't overcommit his forces, and he's not too proud to back off when it's clear he's losing. Which doesn't happen very often, as you're finding out."
She cocked an eyebrow.
"Any of that help you?"
she added sarcastically.
"Actually, it does,"
Organa Solo said.
"If we can identify the weaknesses he's planning to exploit, we might be able to anticipate the thrust of his attack."
"That's not going to be easy," Mara warned.
Organa Solo smiled faintly.
"No, but it gives us a place to start. Thank you for your help." "You're welcome,"
Mara said, the words coming out automatically.
"Was there anything else?"
"No, I don't think so,"
Organa Solo said, stepping away from the window and heading for the door.
"I need to get back and get some sleep before the twins wake up again. And you'll probably want to be going to bed soon, too."
"And I'm still free to move around the palace?"
Organa Solo smiled again.
"Of course. Whatever you did in the past, it's clear you're not serving with the Empire now. Good night."
She turned to the door, reached for the handle.
"I'm going to kill your brother," Mara told her. "Did he tell you that?"
Organa Solo stiffened, just noticeably, and Mara could sense the ripple of shock run through that Jedi-trained calmness. Her hand on the door handle dropped back to her side.
"No, he didn't,"
she said, her back still to Mara.
"May I ask why?"
"He destroyed my life,"
Mara told her, feeling the old ache deep in her throat, and wondering why she was even telling Organa Solo this.
"You're wrong. I didn't just serve with the Empire. I was a personal agent of the Emperor himself. He brought me here to Coruscant and the Imperial Palace and trained me to be an extension of his will across the galaxy. I could hear his voice from anywhere in the Empire and knew how to give his orders to anyone from a stormtrooper brigade all the way up to a Grand Moff. I had authority and power and a purpose in life. They knew me as the Emperor's hand, and they respected me the same way they did him. Your brother took all that away from me."
Organa Solo turned back to face her.
"I'm sorry," she said, "but there was no other choice. The lives and freedom of billions of beings..."
"I'm not going to debate the issue with you,"
Mara cut her off.
"You couldn't possibly understand what I've been through."
A shadow of distant pain crossed Organa Solo's face.
"You're wrong,"
she said quietly.
"I understand very well."
Mara glared at her, but it was a glare without any real force of hatred behind it. Leia Organa Solo of Alderaan, who'd been forced to watch as the first Death Star obliterated her entire world.
"At least you had a life to go to afterward," she growled at last. "You had the whole rebellion. More friends and allies than you could even count. I had no one."
"It must have been hard."
"I survived it,"
Mara said briefly.
"So now are you going to have me hauled off to detention?"
Those Alderaanian cultured eyebrows lifted slightly.
"You keep suggesting that I should have you locked up. Is that what you want?"
"I already told you what I want. I want to kill your brother."
"Do you?"
Organa Solo asked.
"Do you really?"
Mara smiled thinly.
"Bring him here, and I'll prove it."
Organa Solo studied her face, and Mara could feel the tenuous touch of her rudimentary Jedi senses as well.
"From what Luke's told me, it sounds like you've already had several chances to kill him,"
Organa Solo pointed out.
"You didn't take them."
"It wasn't from lack of intent,"
Mara said. But it was a thought that had been gnawing at her as well.
"I just keep getting into situations where I need him alive. But that'll change."
"Perhaps,"
Organa Solo said, her eyes still moving across Mara's face.
Or perhaps it's not really you who wants him dead.
Mara frowned.
What's that supposed to mean?
Organa Solo's gaze drifted away from Mara to the window, and Mara could feel a tightening of the other woman's sense.
I was at Endor a couple of months ago,
she said. An icy sensation crawled up Mara's spine. She'd been at Endor too, taken there to face Grand Admiral Thrawn, and she remembered what the space around the world of the Emperor's death had felt like.
And?
She prompted. Even to herself, her voice sounded strained. Organa Solo heard it too.
You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
She asked, her eyes still on the lights of the Imperial City.
There's some shadow of the Emperor's presence still there.
Some of that final surge of hatred and anger. Like a... I don't know what.
Like an emotional bloodstain,
Mara said quietly, the image springing spontaneously and vividly into her mind.
Marking the spot where he died.
She looked at Organa Solo to find the other woman's eyes on her.
Yes,
Organa Solo said.
That's exactly what it was like.
Mara took a deep breath, forcing the black chill from her mind.
So what does that have to do with me?
Organa Solo studied her.
I think you know.
You will kill Luke Skywalker!
No!
Mara said, her mouth suddenly dry.
You're wrong!
Am I?
Organa Solo asked softly.
You said you could hear the Emperor's voice from anywhere in the galaxy.
I could hear his voice,
Mara snapped.
Nothing more.
Organa Solo shrugged slightly.
You know best, of course. It might still be worth thinking about. I'll do that,
Mara said stiffly.
If that's all, you can go.
Organa Solo nodded, her sense showing no irritation at being dismissed like some minor underling.
Thank you for your assistance, she said. I'll talk with you later.
With a final smile, she pulled the door open and left.
Don't count on it,
Mara muttered after her, turning back to the desk and dropping into the chair.
This had gone on far enough.
If Card was too preoccupied with business to get in touch with his contact man, then the contact man himself was going to get her and Ghent out of here. Pulling up her code file, she keyed for long-range comm access. The response was prompt.
Unable to access.
The words scrolled across the display.
Long-range communication system temporarily down.
Terrific, she growled under her breath. How soon till it's back up?
Unable to determine. Repeating. Long-range communication system temporarily down.
With a curse, she shut the terminal off. The whole universe seemed to be against her tonight.
She picked up the datapad she'd been reading earlier, put it down again, and stood back up. It was late. She'd already fallen asleep once at her desk, and if she had any sense, she would just give up and go to bed. Stepping across to the window, she leaned against the carved wooden frame and gazed out at the city light stretching halfway to infinity and tried to think.
No, it was impossible. Impossible, absurd, and unthinkable.
Organa Solo could waste as much breath as she wanted, spinning these clever speculations of hers. After 5 years of living with this thing, Mara ought to know her own thoughts and feelings, ought to know what was real and what wasn't.
And yet, the image of the dream rose up before her.
The Emperor, gazing at her with bitter intensity as Vader and Skywalker closed in on him. The unspoken but tangible accusation in those yellow eyes that it was her failure to take care of Skywalker at Jabba the Hutt's hideout that had caused this. That flood of powerless rage as the two lightsabers were lifted over him. That final cry, ringing forever through her head.
You will kill Luke Skywalker!
Stop it!
She snarled, slapping the side of her head hard against the window jamb. The image and words exploded into a flash of pain and a shower of sparks, and vanished. For a long time she just stood there, listening to the rapid thudding of her heartbeat in her ears, the conflicting thoughts chasing each other around her mind. Certainly the Emperor would have wanted Skywalker dead. But Organa Solo was still wrong. She had to be. It was Mara herself who wanted to kill Luke Skywalker, not some ghost from the past. Far across the city, a multicolored light rippled gently against the surrounding buildings and clouds overhead, jolting her out of her musings. The clock at the ancient central gathering hall, marking the hour as it had for the past 3 centuries, the light changed texture and rippled again, then winked out. Half an hour past midnight. Lost in her thoughts, Mara hadn't realized it had gotten that late, and all of this wasn't accomplishing anything anyway. She might as well go to bed and try to put the whole thing out of her mind long enough to get some sleep. With a sigh, she pushed away from the window and froze. Deep in the back of her mind, the quiet alarm bell had just gone off. Somewhere nearby, there was danger. She slid her tiny blaster out of its forearm holster, listening hard. Nothing. Glancing back once at the window, wondering briefly if anyone was watching her through the privacy laminate, she moved silently to the door, putting her ear against it. She listened again. For a moment, there was nothing. Then, almost inaudible through the thick wood, she heard the sound of approaching footsteps. Footsteps with the kind of quiet but purposeful stride that she had always associated with combat professionals. She tensed. But the footsteps passed her door without pausing, fading away toward the far end of the hallway. She waited a count of 10 to let them get a good lead on her. Then, carefully, she opened her door and looked outside. There were 4 of them, dressed in the uniforms of palace security, walking in a bent diamond formation. They reached the hallway and slowed as the point man eased a quick look around it. His hand curved slightly, and all 4 continued around the corner and disappeared, heading toward the stairway that led down to the central sections of the palace below or up to the tower and the permanent residential suites above. Mara stared after them, her fatigue gone in a surge of adrenaline. The bent diamond formation, the obvious caution, the hand signal, and her own premonition of danger. They all pointed to the same conclusion. Imperial intelligence had penetrated the palace. She turned back toward her desk, stopped short with a quiet curse. One of the first tasks the team would have carried out would have been to get into the palace's computer and comm systems. Any attempt to sound the alarm would probably be intercepted and would certainly tip them off. Which meant that if they were going to be stopped, she was going to have to do it herself. Gripping her blaster tightly, she slipped out of her room and headed after them. She made it to the corner and was just easing forward for a careful look when she heard the quiet click of a blaster safety behind her.
"All right, Jade," a voice murmured in her ear. "Nice and easy. It's all over."
Chapter 9. Admiral Drayson leaned back in his seat and shook his head.
"I'm sorry, Calrissian, General Belioblis," he said for probably the 10th time since the session had begun. "We just can't risk it."
Lando took a deep breath, trying to scrape together a few last shards of patience. This was his sweat and work that Drayson was casually throwing away.
"Admiral, it's not that much of a risk, Admiral,"
Belioblis cut in smoothly, and with far more courtesy than Lando had left at his disposal.
"I've shown you at least 8 places we could draw an assault frigate from, which would have it out of service less than 10 days.
Drayson snorted.
"At the rate he's going, Grand Admiral Thrawn could take 3 more sectors in 10 days. You want to give him a shot at 4?
"Admiral, we're talking a single assault frigate here," Lando said. "Not a dozen star cruisers or an orbital battle station. What could Thrawn possibly have up his sleeve where one assault frigate could make or break the attack?"
"What could he do against a heavily defended shipyard with a single rigged freighter?" Drayson retorted. "Face it, gentlemen, when you go up against someone like Thrawn, all the usual rules get tossed out the lock. He could spin a net out of this so transparent that we'd never even see it until it was too late. He's done it before."
Lando grimaced.
but it was hardly a frame of mind he could really blame Drayson for. A couple of months back, when he and Han had first been brought to Bel Iblis's hidden military base, he'd been three-quarters convinced himself that the whole thing was some gigantic and convoluted scheme that Thrawn had created for their benefit. It had taken him until after the Katana battle to finally be convinced otherwise, and it had taught him a valuable lesson.
"Admiral, we all agree that Thrawn is a brilliant tactician," he said, choosing his words carefully. "But we can't assume that everything that happens in the galaxy is part of some grand, all-encompassing scheme that he's dreamed up. He's got my metal stockpiles and put Nomad City out of commission. Odds are that's all he wanted."
Drayson shook his head.
"I'm afraid odds are isn't good enough, Calrissian. You find me proof that the Empire won't take advantage of a missing assault frigate, and I'll consider loaning you one."
"Oh, come on, Admiral."
"And if I were you," Drayson added, starting to gather his data cards together, "I'd play down my connection with the whole Niklon mining project. A lot of us still remember that it was your mole miners Thrawn used in his attack on the Sluis Van shipyards."
"And it was his knowledge of them that kept that attack from succeeding,"
Bel Iblis reminded the other quietly.
"A number of us remember that, too."
"That assumes that Thrawn actually intended to steal the ships," Drayson shot back as he stood up from the table. "Personally, I expect he was just as happy to have them put out of commission. Now, if you'll excuse me, gentlemen, I have a war to run."
He left, and Lando let out a quiet sigh of defeat.
"So much for that,"
he said, pulling his own data cards together.
"Don't let it worry you,"
Bel Iblis advised, getting up from his chair and stretching tiredly.
"It's not you in Nomad City, so much as it is me. Drayson was always one of those who considered disagreement with Mon Mothma to be one step down from Imperial collaboration. Obviously, he still does."
"I thought you and Mon Mothma had patched all that up,"
Lando said, getting to his feet.
"Oh, we have."
Bel Iblis shrugged, circling the table and heading for the door.
"More or less. She's invited me back into the New Republic. I've accepted her leadership, and officially, all is well. But old memories fade slowly."
His lip twisted slightly.
"And I have to admit that my departure from the Alliance after Alderaan could have been handled more diplomatically. You up on the President's guest floor?"
"Yes. You?"
"The same. Come on, I'll walk you up."
They left the conference room and headed down the arched hallway toward the turbolifts.
"You think he might change his mind?" Lando asked.
"Drayson?"
Bel Iblis shook his head.
"Not a chance. Unless we can pry Mon Mothma out of the war room and get you a hearing, I think your only chance is to hope Ackbar gets back to Coruscant in the next couple of days. The importance of Nomad City aside, I imagine he still owes you a favor or two."
Lando thought about that rather awkward scene back when he'd first told Ackbar that he was resigning his general's commission.
"Favors won't mean anything if he agrees that it might be a setup," he said instead. "Not after being burned once at Sluis Van."
"True,"
Bel Iblis conceded. He glanced down a cross corridor as they passed, and when he turned forward again, Lando thought he could see a slight frown on his face.
"All of which is unfortunately complicated by the presence of this Delta Source thing the Empire's got planted here in the palace. Just because Thrawn doesn't have any current plans for Niklon doesn't mean he won't think some up once he finds out what we're going to do."
"If he finds out," Lando corrected. "Delta Source isn't omniscient, you know. Han and Leia have managed to run some important missions past it."
"Proving once again the basic strength of small groups. Still, the sooner you identify this leak and put it out of commission, the better."
They passed another hallway, and again Bel Iblis glanced down it, and this time there was no doubt about the frown.
"Trouble?"
Lando asked quietly.
"I'm not sure,"
Bel Iblis said.
"Shouldn't there be occasional guards in this part of the palace?"
Lando looked around.
They were rather alone out here. Could they all have been shifted down to the Sarkon reception for the evening?
They were here earlier, Belibliss said. I saw at least two when I came down from my suite.
Lando looked back along the hallway, an unpleasant sensation starting to crawl along his backbone.
So what happened to them?
I don't know.
Belibliss took a deep breath.
I don't suppose you're armed.
Lando shook his head.
Blaster's up in my room. I didn't think I'd need it here.
You probably don't,
Belibliss said, the fingertips of his right hand easing beneath his jacket as he looked around.
There's probably some simple, perfectly innocuous explanation.
Sure, Lando said, pulling out his comlink. Let's call in and find out what it is.
He thumbed the device on and as quickly shut it off as a soft squeal of static erupted from the speaker.
I think the explanation just stopped being simple, he said grimly.
Suddenly his hand was itching to have a blaster in it.
What now?
We find some way to alert palace security,
Belibliss said, looking around.
All right. The turbo lifts up ahead won't help us. They only serve the residential areas. But there's a stairway at the far end that leads down to Palace Central. We'll try that way.
Sounds good, Lando nodded. Let's swing up to my suite first and pick up my blaster.
Good idea,
Belibliss agreed.
We'll pass on the turbo lift. Stairs are over this way, nice and quiet.
The stairs were as deserted as the corridor behind them had been. But as Belibliss started out of the stairway door, he suddenly held up a warning hand. Moving to his side, Lando looked out onto the floor. Ahead, moving cautiously down the hallway away from them, was a lone figure. A slender woman with red-gold hair, a small blaster gripped ready in her hand. Mara Jade. There was a soft whisper of metal on cloth as Belibliss drew his blaster. Motioning Lando to follow, he started silently down the hallway after her. They had nearly caught up by the time she reached the far corner. There she paused, poised to look around it. Belibliss leveled his blaster.
All right, Jade,
he said quietly.
Nice and easy. It's all over.
For a second, Lando was sure she was going to argue the point. She turned her head halfway, looking back over her shoulder as if targeting her opponents.
Calrissian,
she said. And there was no mistaking the relief in her voice, or the underlying tension either.
There are Imperials in the palace, dressed as security. I've just seen four of them.
Interesting,
Belibliss said, eyeing her closely.
Where were you going?
I thought it might be a good idea to find out what they were up to, she growled sarcastically. You want to help or not?
Belibliss eased a look around the corner.
I don't see anyone. They've probably already headed down. Best guess is either the war room or the Sarkon reception.
And suddenly, the whole thing clicked together in Lando's mind.
No, he said. They haven't gone down. They've gone up. They're after Leia's twins.
Mara swore under her breath.
You're right. Thrawn's promised them to that lunatic Sabaoth. That has to be it.
You could be right, Belibliss said. Where's your room, Calrissian?
Two doors back, Lando told him, nodding over his shoulder.
Get your blaster,
Belibliss ordered, peering again around the corner.
You and Jade head down the hallway over there and find the main stairway. See if anyone's up there yet. Maybe try to warn Leia and Solo. I'll go downstairs and scare up some reinforcements.
Be careful. They may have left a rear guard on the stairway down,
Mara warned.
They'll certainly have one on the way up. Belibliss countered. Watch yourselves.
With one final look around the corner, he eased past and was gone.
Wait here, Lando told Mara, starting back toward his room. I'll be right back.
Just hurry it up,
she called after him.
Right.
He ran to his room, and as he keyed the door open, he threw a quick look back at Mara. She was still standing there, turned halfway around the corner. An intense yet strangely empty expression on the part of her face he could see. That face. That somehow, somewhere familiar face.
fitting into a time and place and background he could almost, but not quite, make out in his mind's eye. He shook off the thought. Whoever she had been, now was definitely not the time to try to figure it out. Han, Leia, and their children were in deadly danger. It was up to him and Mara to get them out of it. Turning back to his room, he hurried inside.
Leia Organa Solo. Leia Organa Solo. Wake up! You're in danger. Wake up! Leia Organa Solo, wake up! With a gasp, Leia snapped out of the dream, the last remnants of that insistent voice echoing through her mind as she came awake. For a handful of dream-fogged heartbeats, she couldn't remember where she was, and her eyes and Jedi senses flicked tensely around the darkened room as she struggled for recognition. Then, the last of the sleep evaporated, and she was back in her suite in the Imperial Palace. Beside her, Han grunted gently in his sleep as he rolled over. Across the room, the twins were huddled together in their crib. In the next room over, Winter was also asleep, no doubt dreaming in the laser-sharp images of her perfect memory. And outside the suite, she frowned. There was someone at the outer door. No, more than one. 5 or 6 of them, at least, standing grouped around it. She slipped out of bed, hands automatically scooping up her blaster and lightsaber from the floor as she did so. It was probably nothing, most likely simply a group of security guards taking a moment for idle conversation among themselves before continuing on their rounds. Though if so, they were breaking several fairly strict rules about on-duty personnel. She would have to find a diplomatic but firm way of reminding them. Padding silently on the thick carpet, she left the bedroom and headed across the living areas toward the door, working through the Jedi sensory enhancement routine as she walked. If she could hear and identify the guards' voices from inside the suite, she could warn them individually and privately in the morning. She never made it to the door. Halfway across the living area, she stopped short as her enhanced hearing began to pick up a faint hum coming from ahead of her. She strained her ears, trying to ignore the sudden distraction of her own heartbeat as she listened. The sound was faint, but very distinctive, and she knew she'd heard it somewhere before. And then, abruptly, she had it. The hum of an electronic lock breaker. Someone was trying to break into their suite. And even as she stood there, frozen with shock, the lock clicked open. There was no time to run, and nowhere to run to. But the designers of the tower hadn't been blind to this sort of danger. Lifting her blaster, hoping fervently the mechanism still worked, Leia fired 2 quick shots into the door. The wood was one of the hardest and strongest known in the galaxy, and her shots probably didn't gouge their way more than a quarter of the way through. But it was enough. The embedded sensors had taken note of the attack, and even as the sound of the blasts thundered in Leia's enhanced hearing, the heavy metal security door slammed down along the wooden door's inside edge.
Leia?
Han's voice demanded from behind her, sounding distant through the ringing in her ears.
Someone's trying to break in, she said, turning and hurrying back to where he stood in the bedroom doorway, blaster ready in his hand. I got the security door closed in time, but that won't hold them.
Not for long,
Han agreed, eyeing the door as Leia reached him.
Get in the bedroom and call security. I'll see what I can do about slowing him down.
All right, be careful. They're serious about this.
The words were barely out of her mouth when the whole room seemed to shake. The intruders, abandoning subtlety, had set to work blowing the outer door to splinters.
Yeah, I'd call that serious,
Han seconded grimly.
Get Winter and 3PO and grab the twins. We got some fast planning to do.
The first sound that drifted down the delicate arch of the tower staircase might have been a distant blaster shot. Mara couldn't tell for sure. The next one, a handful of seconds later, left no doubt.
Uh-oh, Calrissian muttered. That's trouble.
Another shot echoed down the staircase.
Sounds like a heavy blaster, Mara said, listening hard. They must not have been able to get the door open quietly.
Or else they only want the twins,
Calrissian countered darkly, heaving himself away from the corner they'd paused at.
Come on.
Hold it, Mara said, grabbing his arm with her free hand as she studied the territory in front of them. The wide arch of the first flight of stairs ended at a presentation landing with an elaborate wrought stone balustrade. Just visible from where they stood were the openings of two narrower stairways that continued upward, double helix fashion, from opposite ends of the landing. That landing would be a good spot for a rear guard, and I don't feel like stopping a blaster bolt. Calrissian muttered something impatient-sounding under his breath, but he stayed put. A moment later, he was probably glad he had.
You're right. There's someone near the stairway to the left, he murmured.
Means there'll be one on the right, too, Mara said, her eyes searching the contours and crevices of the balustrade stonework, as another blaster shot echoed down. Intelligence operatives liked lurking in shadows. And there's one on each side of the main stairway, she added, about 2 meters out from the edges.
I see them, Calrissian said. This isn't gonna be easy.
He looked back over his shoulder to where the stairway picked up again.
Come on, Belleblis, get up here.
He'd better hurry, Mara seconded, peering cautiously at the four Imperials and trying to remember the details of the tower's layout. Organa Solo's door isn't going to last long.
Not nearly as long as that rear guard can hold us off,
Calrissian agreed, hissing softly between his teeth.
Wait a minute. Stay here. I got an idea.
Where are you going? Mara demanded as he moved away from the corner.
Main hangar, Calrissian told her, heading for the stairway behind them. Chewie was down there earlier working on the Falcon. If he's still there, we can go up on the outside of the tower and get them out.
How? Mara persisted. Those are transparent steel windows up there. You'll never blast through them without killing everyone inside.
I won't have to, Calrissian said with a tightly sly smile. Leia's got a lightsaber. Keep these guys busy, okay?
He sprinted to the stairway and vanished down it. Right, Mara growled after him, turning her attention back to the Imperials up on the stairway. Had they spotted her and Calrissian skulking around down here? Probably. In which case, that guy at the leftmost stairway was probably standing too far out of cover just to bait her. Well, she was willing to oblige. Switching her blaster to her left hand, she braced her wrist against the corner, took careful aim. The shot from the other stairway spattered off the wall above her blaster, scattering hot splinters of stone across her hand. Blast! She snarled, snatching her hand back and brushing the fragments off. So they wanted to play cute, did they? Fine. She can handle cute. Getting a fresh grip on her blaster, she eased back to the corner. It was the sudden tingle of danger in the back of her mind that saved her life. She dropped to one knee, and as she did so, a pair of blaster shots from straight ahead flashed into the stonework where her head had been. Instantly, she threw herself backward to land on her side on the floor, eyes and blaster tracking toward where the shots had come from. There were two of them, moving quietly toward her along the corridor on the opposite side of the stairway. She got off two quick shots as she rolled over onto her stomach, both of them missing. Shifting to a two-handed grip, trying to ignore the shots that were beginning to come uncomfortably close, she lined up her blaster on the rightmost of her assailants and fired twice. He jerked and collapsed to the floor, his blaster still firing reflexively and uselessly into the ceiling. A shot sizzled past Mara's ear as she shifted aim toward the second assailant. Another came even closer as his weapon tracked toward her, and abruptly, the air over Mara's head was filled with a blazing storm of blaster fire. The Imperial across the way went down like a stuck bantha and lay still. Mara twisted around. A half dozen security guards were hurrying toward her from the lower staircase, weapons at the ready. Behind them was Belleblis.
You all right?
He called to her. I'm fine, she grunted, rolling further back from the corner. Just in time, the Imperials on the landing, their little surprise attack having fizzled, opened fire in full force. Mara got to her feet, ducking away from the rain of stone chips. Calrissian's gone down to the hangar, she told Belleblis, raising her voice over the din.
Yes, we passed him on the way up,
the other nodded, as the security guards hurried forward.
What happened here?
Couple of latecomers to the party, Mara told him, jerking her head back toward the corridor. Probably on their way back from the comm section. Their friends on the landing tried to keep my attention while they sneaked up on me. Just about worked, too.
I'm glad it didn't,
Bel Iblis said, shifting his attention over her shoulder.
Lieutenant? Not going to be easy, sir,
the guard commander called over the noise.
We've got an E-Web repeating blaster on its way up from the armory. Soon as it gets here, we can cut them right off at that landing. Until then, about all we can do is keep them busy and hope they do something stupid.
Bel Iblis nodded slowly, his lips compressed into a tight line, a hint of strain around his eyes. It was a look Mara had seen only rarely, and then only on the faces of the best military commanders, the expression of a leader preparing to send men to their deaths.
We can't wait,
he said. The strain was still there, but his voice was firm.
The group upstairs will have Solo's door open well before that. We'll have to take them now.
The guard commander took a deep breath.
Understood, sir.
Right, men. You heard the general. Let's find ourselves some cover and get to it.
Mara took a step closer to Bel Iblis.
They'll never do it in time, she said quietly.
I know that,
the other said tightly.
But the more we can take out now, fewer we'll have to deal with when the rest of them come downstairs.
His gaze shifted again over her shoulder.
When?
He added softly.
They have hostages.
There was one final stutter of heavy blaster fire, a vaguely metallic crash, and then silence.
Oh dear!
3PO moaned from the corner where he was trying to make himself as inconspicuous as possible.
I believe the front security door has failed!
Glad you're here to tell us these things,
Han said irritably, his eyes roving restlessly around Winter's bedroom. It was so much useless exercise, Leia knew. Everything they could possibly use in their defense had already been moved into position. Winter's bed and memento chest were against the two doors leading out of here, and the wardrobe had been moved near the window and tipped on its side to serve as a makeshift firing barricade. And that was it. Until the intruders broke through one or both of the doors, there was nothing to do but wait. Leia took a deep breath, trying to calm her racing heart. Ever since the first of these kidnapping attempts on Bimisari, she'd been able to think of it as the Imperials gunning for her and her alone. Not an especially pleasant thought, but one that she'd become more or less accustomed to after years of warfare. This time it was different. This time, instead of being after her and her unborn twins, they were after her babies. Babies they could physically take from her arms and hide away where she might never see them again. She squeezed her lightsaber tightly. No, it was not going to happen. She wouldn't let it. A vaguely wooden-sounding crash from outside.
There goes the couch,
Han muttered. Another crash.
And the chair. Didn't think they would slow him down any.
It was worth a try, Leia said.
Yeah.
Han snorted under his breath.
You know, I've been telling you for months we needed more furniture in this place.
Leia smiled tightly and squeezed his hand. Trust Han to try to take the edge off a tense situation.
You have not, she told him. You're never here anyway.
She looked back at Winter, sitting on the floor beneath the transparasteel windows, with one twin cradled in each arm.
How are they doing?
I think they're waking up,
Winter murmured back.
Yes, they are,
Leia confirmed, giving each baby a quick mental caress with as much reassurance as she could manage.
Try to keep them quiet, Han muttered. Our pals out there don't need any help.
Leia nodded, feeling a fresh tension squeezing her heart. Both bedrooms, theirs and Winter's, opened out into the living area of the suite, giving the attackers a 50-50 chance at picking the door their targets were hiding behind. With the kind of weaponry they obviously had, a wrong choice wouldn't lose them more than a few minutes. But a few minutes could easily mean the difference between life and death. The thud of a heavy blaster shot came through the wall from the direction of their room, and for a moment, Leia began to breathe again. But only for a moment. A second later, the sound was repeated, this time from the door in front of them. Faced with two doors, the Imperials had decided to break down both. She turned to Han, to find him looking at her.
It'll still slow him down,
he reminded her.
the words more soothing than the sense behind them.
They have to split up their firepower. We've still got some time.
Now if we just had something to do with it,
Leia said, looking futilely around the room. Years of moving around the galaxy where the Rebellion's supply and procurement section had gotten Winter into the habit of traveling light, and there simply wasn't anything else in here that they could use. Another volley of shots came from outside, followed by a faint splintering sound. The regular wooden bedroom doors would be down soon, leaving only the inner security doors. Leia looked around the room again, desperation starting to cloud her thoughts. The wardrobe, the bed, the memento chest, that was it. Nothing but the security doors, the transparasteel windows, and bare walls. Bare walls. She was suddenly and freshly aware of the lightsaber clutched in her hand. Han, why don't we just get out of here? She said, the first cautious wisp of hope flicking through her. I can cut us through the wall to the next suite over with my lightsaber. And we wouldn't have to stop there. We could be halfway down the corridor before they get that door down.
Yeah, I already thought of that, Han said tightly. Problem is, they probably thought of it too.
Leia swallowed. Yes, the Imperials would certainly be ready for them to try that.
How about going down, then? She persisted. Or up? Do you think they'd be ready for us to go through the ceiling?
You've seen Thrawn in action, Han countered. What do you think?
Leia sighed, the brief glint of hope fading. He was right. If the Grand Admiral had planned this attack personally, they might as well open the security door and surrender right now. Everything they could possibly come up with would already have been anticipated in exquisite detail, with counters planned for each move. She shook her head sharply.
No,
she said aloud.
He's not infallible. We've outthought him before, and we can do it again.
She turned around to look at Winter and the twins, still sleeping under the window.
All right,
she said slowly.
What if we go out the window?
He stared at her.
Out the window to where?
Wherever we can get to,
she said. The blasters outside were pounding at the security doors now.
Up, down, sideways, I don't care.
Han still had that astonished look on his face.
Sweetheart, in case you hadn't noticed, those walls are flat stone. Even Chewie couldn't climb it without mountain gear.
That's why they won't expect us to go that way,
Leia said, glancing at the window again.
Maybe I can carve out some hand and footholds with the lightsaber.
She stopped, giving the window a second look. It hadn't been a trick of the room's lighting. There were indeed a pair of headlights approaching.
Han?
He swiveled to look.
Uh-oh,
he muttered.
More company. Great.
Could it be a rescue team?
Leia suggested hesitantly.
Doubt it.
Han shook his head, studying the approaching lights.
It's only been a few minutes since the shooting started. Wait a minute.
Leia looked back. Outside, the headlights had begun to flicker. She watched the pattern, trying unsuccessfully to match it with any code she knew.
Captain Solo!
3PO spoke up, sounding excited.
As you know, I am fluent in over 6 million forms of communication.
It's Chewie!
Han cut him off, scrambling to his feet and waving both hands in front of the window.
And this signal appears to be related to one of the codes used by professional sabacc players when dealing with...
We've got to get rid of this window,
Han said, throwing a look back at the door.
Leia?
Right.
Leia dropped her blaster and scrambled to her feet, lightsaber in hand.
Cheating by third or fourth parties to the game.
Shut up, Goldenrod,
Han snapped at 3PO, helping Winter and the twins out from under the window. The lights outside were getting rapidly closer, and now Leia could make out the faint shape of the Falcon in the backwash of the light from the cities below. A memory flickered back. The Nogri kidnapping attempt on Bitfash had used a fake Falcon as a lure. But the Imperials wouldn't have thought to use a sabacc player's code. Would they? It almost didn't matter. She would rather face enemies aboard a ship than sit here waiting for them to walk in on her like this. And well before they got on board, she ought to be able to sense whether it was Chewbacca out there or not. Stepping to the window, she ignited her lightsaber and raised it high. And behind her, with a final explosive crash, the security door blew in. Leia spun around, catching a brief glimpse through the smoke and sparks of two men pushing aside the memento chest and diving to the floor as Han grabbed her arm and yanked her to the floor. A covering volley of blaster fire spattered against the wall and window as she shut down her lightsaber and scooped up her blaster again. At her side, Han was already returning fire, ignoring the danger as he crouched half-protected by the wardrobe. Four more Imperials were at the doorway now, adding their contribution to the rapid splintering of the wardrobe. Leia clenched her teeth, firing back as well as long practice and the Force would let her, knowing full well how futile it was. The longer this firefight went on, the greater the chance that a stray shot would hit one of her babies. And suddenly, unexpectedly, something touched her mind. A mental pressure. Half suggestion, half demand. And what it told her... She took a deep breath. Stop! She shouted over the din. Stop shooting! We surrender! The firing hesitated, then came to a halt. Laying her blaster on top of the shattered wardrobe, she raised her hands as the two Imperials on the floor got cautiously to their feet and started forward, and tried to ignore Han's stunned disbelief. The balustrade near the rightmost stairway erupted in a cloud of chips and stone dust as the concentrated fire of the security guards finally broke through it. The answering fire from the landing caught one of the guards as the balustrade collapsed, sending him flopping backward to lie still. Mara eased an inconspicuous eye around the corner, peering through the debris and the blinding flashes of blaster bolts, wondering if in all the mess they'd managed to take out the Imperial they were trying for. They had. Through the clearing smoke, she could make out the shape of a body, scorched and dust-covered. "They got one," she reported, turning back to Bel Iblis. "Three to go."
"Plus however many there are upstairs," he reminded her, his face grim. "Let's hope the legendary Solo luck extends to Leia and the babies, and anyone else up there they take hostage."
"That's the second time you've mentioned hostages," Mara said.
Bel Iblis shrugged. "A hostage screen is their only way out of here," he said, "and I'm sure they know it. Their only other option is to go up. And I've already told Calrissian to scramble some fighters to close off the airspace above the palace. With the turbo lift blocked, this stairway is it."
Mara stared at him, an icy shiver running abruptly through her. What with all the rush and commotion since this thing had started, she hadn't had time to pause and consider all the nuances of the situation. But now, Bel Iblis's words and her own distant memories had combined in a blinding flash of insight. For a handful of heartbeats, she stood there, thinking it through, wondering if it were real or a construct of her own imagination. But it held up. Logical, tactically brilliant, with Grand Admiral Thrawn's fingerprints all over it. It had to be the answer. And it would have worked, except for a single flaw. Thrawn obviously didn't know she was here, or didn't believe she'd really been the Emperor's hand. "I'll be back," she told Bel Iblis, stepping around him and hurrying back down the hallway. She rounded a corner into a cross corridor, eyes studying the carved frieze running along the top of the wall. Somewhere along here would be the subtle marking she was looking for. There it was. She stopped in front of the otherwise ordinary-looking paneling, glancing both ways down the corridor as she did so. Skywalker and Organa Solo might accept her past associations without any qualms, but she doubted anyone else here would be quite so blasé about it. But the corridor was deserted. Stretching up to the frieze, she slid two fingers into the proper indentations, letting the warmth of her hand soak into the sensors there. And with a faint click, the panel unlocked. She slipped inside, closing the panel behind her, and looked around. Built more or less parallel to the turbolift shafts, the Emperor's private passageways were by necessity narrow and cramped, but they were well lit, dust-free, and soundproof. And, more importantly, they would take her past the Imperials on the presentation landing. 2 minutes and three staircases later, she was at the exit that opened out onto Organa Solo's floor. Taking a couple of deep breaths, preparing herself for combat, she stepped through the panel and out into the hallway. With the battle raging three staircases below, she would have expected to find a secondary rear guard stationed near the bolt hole. She was right. Two men in the by now familiar palace security uniforms were crouched against the walls with their backs to her, keeping watch on the far end of the corridor. The noise of heavy blaster fire coming from the other direction was more than enough to cover her quiet footsteps, and it was likely neither of them had any idea she was even there as she shot them down. A quick check to make sure they were out of the fight, and she was heading down the corridor toward Organa Solo's suite. She had reached it, and was just starting to pick her way across the debris from the shattered outer door, when the blaster fire from inside was suddenly punctuated by an explosive crash. She clenched her teeth as the blasters of the defenders opened up, their noise mixing with that of the attackers. Rushing straight in without any attempt at stealth or cover would be a good way to get herself killed. But if she moved in more cautiously, someone in there was likely to be killed before she could get into firing position. Unless... Leia Organa Solo, she called silently, stretching out through the Force as she had earlier when Calrissian had gone for his blaster. No more certain now than she had been then that Organa Solo could even hear her. It's Mara. I'm coming up behind them. Surrender. You hear me? Surrender. 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 And as she reached the outer door, she heard Organa Solo shout, barely audible over the blaster fire. Stop! Stop shooting! We surrender. Carefully, Mara eased an eye around the door. There they were, four Imperials standing or kneeling at the blackened edges of the doorway, blasters trained warily inside, with two more inside starting to get up from prone positions across the ruined security door, none of them giving the slightest bit of attention in her direction. Smiling tightly to herself, Mara leveled her blaster and opened fire. She had two of them down before the others even woke to the fact that she was there. A third fell as he spun around, trying in vain to bring his blaster to bear on her. The fourth was nearly to firing position when a shot from inside the room sent him spinning to the floor. 5 seconds later, it was all over. There was one survivor, barely.
We think it's the group's leader,
Belliblis told Han, as the two of them strode down the corridor toward the medical wing.
Tentatively identified as Major Himron, though we won't know for certain until he's conscious again. If then.
Han nodded, throwing a quick glance at yet another pair of alert-looking guards as they passed. If nothing else, this little fiasco had sure gotten security stirred up. About time, too.
Any idea how they got in?
That's going to be one of my first questions, Belliblis said. He's in intensive care. This way.
Lando was waiting at the door with one of the medics when Han and Belliblis arrived.
Is everyone okay?
Lando asked, his eyes flicking up and down his friend.
I sent Chewie up, but they told me I should stay here with the prisoner.
Everyone's fine,
Han assured him, as Belliblis stepped past Lando and pulled the medic aside.
Chewie was up there before I left. He's helping Leia and Winter set up in another suite. By the way, thanks for coming up after us.
No charge,
Lando grunted.
Especially since all we got to do was watch. What, you couldn't have held off your little fireworks display for 2 more minutes?
Don't look at me, pal, Han countered. It was Mara's timing, not mine.
A shadow seemed to cross Lando's face.
Red. Mara.
Han frowned at him.
What's that supposed to mean?
I don't know, Lando said, shaking his head. There's still something about her that bothers me. Remember back at Card's base on Merkur? Just before Thrawn dropped in and we had to go hide in the forest?
You said you thought you knew her from somewhere,
Han said. It was a comment that had been stuck in the back of his mind all these months, too.
You ever figure out where?
Not yet, Lando growled. But I'm getting close. I know it.
Han looked at Belliblis and the medic, thinking back to what Luke had said a couple of days later on their way off Merkur, that Mara had told Luke flat out that she wanted to kill him.
Wherever you saw her, she seems to be on our side now.
Yeah, Lando said darkly. Maybe.
Belliblis beckoned them over.
We're going to try to wake him up, he said. Come on.
They went inside, Surrounding the ICU bed were half a dozen medics and MD droids, plus three of Akbar's top security officers.